Madoka and I had wandered off to a few places in the city before our scheduled sightseeing days. We had been to Rockefeller Plaza, where we saw a huge decorated Christmas tree, statues of angels, and the people ice skating. They kept going around and around, and Madoka and I couldn't understand why they enjoyed this. We had also gone to the World Trade Center with Mr. Wright, a Canadian man we had met at the hotel. One evening, when the 57 of us got on the subway on our way to the South Street Seaport, I asked Madoka, "How come everyone is so quiet?" He looked around the train and replied, "It is not the same as public transportation back home." Shanta, the camera person for the event who later became my aunt when I returned to live in New York, pointed the camera at us, and Madoka and I posed for her. On every trip, I would make mental notes on things I needed to tell my uncle, cousins, and Mohammed. I didn't think they would believe any of it. On the last day of the conference, a child from each country spoke briefly at the UN Economic and Social Council chamber about their country and experiences. They were diplomats and all sorts of influential people. They wore suits and ties and sat upright listening to us. I proudly sat behind the Sierra Leone name plaque, listening and waiting for my turn to speak. I had a speech that had been written for me in Freetown, but I decided to speak from my heart instead. I talked briefly about my experience and my hope that the war would end. It was the only way that the adults would stop recruiting children. I began by saying, "I am from Sierra Leone, and the problem that is affecting us children is the war that forces us to run away from our homes, lose our families, and aimlessly roam the forest. As a result, we get involved in the conflict as soldiers, carriers of loads, and in many other difficult tasks. All this is because of starvation and the loss of our families, and the need to feel safe and be part of something when all else had broken down. I joined the army really because of the loss of my family and starvation. I wanted to avenge the deaths of my family. I also had to get some food to survive, and the only way to do that was to be part of the army. It was not easy being a soldier, but we just had to do it. I have been rehabilitated now, so don't be afraid of me. I am not a soldier anymore. I am a child. We are all brothers and sisters. What I have learned from my experiences is that revenge is not good. I joined the army to avenge the death of my family and to survive, but I've come to learn that if I am going to take revenge, in that process, I will kill another person whose family will want revenge. Then revenge and revenge and revenge will never come to an end." After all our presentations, we sang a chant we had come up with. Then we began to sing other songs. We cried, we laughed, and we danced. It was an exceptionally moving afternoon. We were all sad to leave each other, as we had learned that we were not returning to peaceful places. Madoka and I put our arms around each other and jumped around to the music. Bao was dancing with another group of boys. Dr. Tamba sat in the audience smiling for the first time since we had arrived in New York City. After the dance, Laura pulled me aside and told me that she was moved by what I had said. That night, we went out to an Indian restaurant, and I was happy that someone in this part of the world serves rice. We ate a lot, chatted, exchanged addresses, and then went to Laura's house in the East Village. I couldn't understand why she called the area a village, because it didn't look like any village I knew. Our chaperones didn't come with us. They went back to the hotel. I didn't know that Laura's house was going to be my future home. There were traditionally woven cloths from all over the world hanging on the walls. Statues of animals sat on large bookshelves that contained storybooks. Clay vases with beautiful and exotic birds on them stood on tables. And there were bamboo instruments and other strange ones. The house was big enough to hold all 57 of us. First, we sat around in Laura's living room and told stories. Then we danced into the night. It was our last night in New York, and it was the perfect place to spend it, because the house was as interesting and filled with amazing stories as our group was. Everyone felt comfortable and saw something from their home. Being in the house felt as though we had left New York City and entered a different world. The next evening, Laura and Shanta accompanied Ba, Dr. Tamba, and me to the airport. At first, we were all quiet in the car, but gradually we all except Dr. Tamba began to sob. At the terminal, the sobbing intensified as we said goodbye, hugging each other. Laura and Shanta gave us their addresses and telephone numbers so that we could keep in touch. We left New York City on November 15, 1996. My 16th birthday was 8 days away, and throughout the flight back home, I still felt as if I was dreaming, a dream that I didn't want to wake up from. I was sad to leave, but I was also pleased to have met people outside of Sierra Leone, because if I was to get killed upon my return, I knew that a memory of my existence was alive somewhere in the world.